Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. All right. How is everyone today? In good shape? I hope so. Oh, I wanted to look up this. Should have done that before. Sorry. Let's see if it's in the contents. 24. The Bodhisattva finds sound. I've heard it translated differently. Bodhisattva finds sound, sound excellence. Yeah. We'll just call it fine sounds. So we're starting a new chapter, chapter 24 of the BDK translation of the Lotus Sutra. And it is called here Bodhisattva Gadgadasvara, or Bodhisattva finds sounds. Thereupon the Buddha Shakyamuni emitted a ray of light from his top knot. Oh, not from here, but his top knot. Again, these, as you're getting familiar here, these are always allusions to his sharing his insight, right? It's illumination. We're trying to get to enlightenment. So he's spreading this ray of enlightenment to the assembly for the purposes of teaching, right? So let's go on. He emits a ray of light from his top knot, the mark of a great person, and also from the tuft of white hair between his eyebrows, thus illuminating all the Buddha worlds in the east equal to the sands of 180 myriads of kotas of Nayutas of Ganges River. Beyond this number of worlds was the Buddha world called Vairocanarasmiparatimandita. In that world was the Buddha named Oh my goodness, there's like 50 letters. I'll just start with the beginning of these so we can have a flow, all right? The world was the Buddha named Kamaladala, a Tathagata, a completely enlightened, perfect in knowledge and conduct, well-departed, knower of the world, unsurpassed, tamer of humans, teacher of devas and humans, Buddha. He was respectfully surrounded by a great assembly of countless innumerable bodhisattvas, and he expounded his teaching for them. The ray of light emitted from the tuft of white hair between the eyebrows of Shakyamuni Buddha illuminated that entire world. At that it didn't just turn the light on, but you know when you go in a dark attic and you're stumbling around, when you turn the light on in the attic and you suddenly see everything, don't you also see, quote-unquote, the inventory of much of what is there? You begin to understand what is in the attic, what it consists of, how it is organized, so on and so forth. So understand that that meaning is, it's not just illuminated, it's illuminated from a mental standpoint, yeah? Buddhism is about the mind. At that time, the Buddha world of Vairochana, I'm just going to call it that, there was a bodhisattva whose name was Wonderful Voice. Look at that. They translated for us instead of fine sounds. Wonderful Voice. Having planted many roots of good merit over a long period, he paid homage to and closely attended immeasurable hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of Buddhas and accomplished complete and profound wisdom. He attained the samadhis called Sadharma Pundarika, there's Sadharma, Vimaladatta, Naksa, Tara, anyway, several samadhis. Quite a bunch, actually. He thus attained great samadhis equal in number to the sands of hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of Ganges rivers. That's a lot of meditations, yeah? As the light of the Buddha Shakyamuni illuminated his body, he addressed the Buddha Kamala, or Kamala, saying, O Buddha, I shall go to the Saha world, our mundane, right? Mundane only because materialistic world, yeah? Our physical world. Approach the Buddha Shakyamuni in homage and reverence, and see Bodhisattva Manjushri, the prince of the Dharma, as well as Bodhisattva Medicine King, Bodhisattva Pradhanasura, Bodhisattva Nakasastara, so on and so forth, Bodhisattva, several Bodhisattvas. Then the Buddha Kamala, so on and so forth, addressed Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, saying, you must not despise that world, nor think it inferior, O son of a virtuous family. The land of that Saha world is uneven and irregular and filled with mud, stones, mountains, and filth. The Buddha is short of body, as are the Bodhisattvas. By contrast, your body is 42,000 yohanas tall, and my body is 6,800,000 yohanas tall. Your body is perfect in its bearing and illuminated most beautifully with hundreds of millions of merits. Yet, when you go there, you must not despise that country, nor think the Buddha, Bodhisattvas, or the world itself is inferior. How interesting. So again, the use of the body meant to carry with it the idea of the impression. You know the saying, when he walks into a room or she walks into a room, everybody notices? Well, this is a way of doing that. This is to say that this beautiful woman walks in the room, she's the same size as everyone else, but if you could picture her as 50 feet tall, nobody would miss her, right? So that's the hyperbole here. Okay, it's the expedient means or skillful means we read about all the time. So, and it's interesting to me that the world that he's going to is going to meet Shakyamuni Buddha. That's our world. And it's described as kind of a slum. Yeah. So I guess in relative terms to this highly illuminated, enlightened, wonderful voice, Bodhisattva, this world ain't all that. But don't let that color or influence your impression, as we've learned several times now. See all sentient beings as Buddhas, potential Buddhas. The Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, addressed the Buddha, saying, O Buddha, I am now going to the Saha world through the power of the Tathagata, the carefree play of the transcendent power of the Tathagata, and the adornment of the qualities and wisdom of the Tathagata. So here I go. At that time, Bodhisattva, a wonderful voice, without rising from his seat or moving his body, entered Samadhi. So again, Buddhism about the mind, right? He's getting his attitude and intent and aligning them so he can travel to this Saha world, right? Through the power of the Samadhi, he caused 84,000 jeweled lotus flowers to appear on Mount Vulture Peak, right? Not far from the seat of the Dharma. The stems were made of Jambunada gold, the leaves of silver, the pistils of diamond, and the calices of rubies. So, beautiful flowers. On seeing these lotus flowers, Bodhisattva Manjushri, the prince of the Dharma, addressed the Buddha, saying, O Buddha, why has this marvel appeared? There are a great many millions of lotus flowers whose stems are made of Jambunada gold, leaves of silver, pistils of diamonds, and calices of ruby. The Buddha Shakyamuni answered Manjushri, saying, the Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, wishes to come to this Saha world from the Buddha world called Kamala, blah, 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 together with 84,000 bodhisattvas as his retinue. He approaches me in homage and reverence, wishing to make offerings and to hear the Lotus Sutra. Manjushri asked the Buddha, saying, O Buddha, what roots of good merit has he planted, and what merits has he practiced to attain his great transcendent powers? What kind of samadhi has he practiced? I entreat you to tell us the name of this samadhi. We wish to practice it with diligence. By practicing this samadhi, we wish to see the shape, appearance, size, and manner of this bodhisattva. I entreat you, Buddha, to use your transcendent powers and let us see the appearance of that bodhisattva. Then Buddha Shakyamuni spoke to Manjushri, saying, the Tathagata Prabhutaratna, who long ago entered Parinirvana, will manifest the signs for you. At that time, the Buddha Prabhutaratna addressed that bodhisattva, saying, come, O son of a virtuous family, Manjushri, the prince of the Dharma, wishes to see you. So the invitation is open to wonderful voice to come and meet and greet and listen to the teachings of Myoho Rengekyo. Thereupon, Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, disappeared from his world and arrived together with his 84,000 bodhisattvas. In the worlds through which he passed, the land quaked in six ways, seven jeweled lotus flowers rained everywhere, and hundreds of thousands of heavenly musical instruments sounded spontaneously without being played. The eyes of this bodhisattva were as large as blue lotus leaves. Even if hundreds of thousands of myriads of moons were gathered together, they would not exceed the beauty of his countenance. His body was pure gold in color, adorned with immeasurable hundreds of thousands of merits, radiant and virtuous dignity, and brilliantly illuminated like the adamantine body of the god Narayana. Having entered the seven-jeweled platform, there's that seven again, and ascended into the air, he flew above the earth at a height of seven tala trees. Surrounded by respectful bodhisattvas, he arrived at Mount Vulture, or Eagle Peak, as it's often translated in the West. It's actually Vulture Mountain. It's an actual mountain in Northeast India. I think I've mentioned that before, where Shakyamuni delivered many sermons to the bodhisattvas and others, yeah? In this Saha world, and descended from the seven-jeweled terrace. He came before Buddha Shakyamuni with a necklace worth hundreds of thousands in his hand, and that's the first time I've seen a worth or valuation, interesting, and bowed until his forehead reached the Buddha's feet. He presented the necklace to the Buddha, saying, O Buddha, the Buddha, Kamala, so on and so forth, inquires of the Buddha. Are you without illness or pain? Is your daily life pleasant? Are you at ease in practice? Is the world around you harmonious? Are your worldly affairs bearable? Is it easy to save sentient beings? Are they not filled with greed, anger, and foolishness, avarice, and pride? Are they mindful of their parents? Do they respect sramanas? Do they not have false views or erring thoughts? Do they control the desires of their five senses, the skandhas? O Buddha, do the sentient beings conquer the maras, the mundane influences of samsara? Yeah? Has the Tathagata Prabhutaratna, sitting in the seven-jeweled stupa, long after his parinirvana, come here to hear the Dharma? Furthermore, he inquired of the Tathagata Prabhutaratna, saying, are you at ease and without pain, O Buddha? Will your life be long and endured with patience? I now wish to see the body of the Buddha Prabhutaratna. I entreat you, O Buddha, to manifest and show it to me. At that time, Buddha Shakyamuni said to Buddha Prabhutaratna, this bodhisattva, wonderful voice, wants to see you. And I think I remember Prabhutaratna being Buddha Tahoe, but I'm not sure about that. Then the Buddha Prabhutaratna addressed a wonderful voice, saying, splendid, splendid, you have paid homage to the Buddha Shakyamuni and heard the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Rengekyo, and have come here in order to see Manjushri and others. Thereupon, Bodhisattva Padmasri addressed the Buddha, saying, O Buddha, what roots of good merit has this Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, planted? And what merits has he practiced to attain these transcendent powers? The Buddha answered Bodhisattva Padmasri, saying, in the past, there was a Buddha called Meghadundara, a Tathagata, a completely enlightened. His world was called Sharvara Pasamadras, and the Kalpa was called Pirani. So we have all of these long descriptions of historic practice for the purpose of enlightenment. That's all. These names are, maybe if we understood the Sanskrit, or I understood the Sanskrit, we could see some clues in the name themselves, because as like Bodhisattva, wonderful voice. You know something about that Bodhisattva already, don't you? Probably has a wonderful singing voice. Probably sounds wonderful when he's reciting the sutras. That's all those long names are about. So anyway, he goes on for a period of 12,000 years. This Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, paid homage to the Buddha, Meghadun, we'll just leave it at that, with 100,000 kinds of music, 84,000 seven jeweled bowls. As a result of his deeds, he was born in the world of Buddha Kamala and attained his transcendent powers. O Padmasri, what do you think about this? Is Bodhisattva, a wonderful voice who paid homage to the Buddha Meghadunbuddha, so on and so forth, with music and jeweled vessels, someone unknown? Bodhisattva Mahasattva Gandhasvara here present is one and the same wonderful voice. Having closely and respectfully attended innumerable Buddhas and planted roots of good merit over a long period of time, this Bodhisattva wonderful voice met hundreds of thousands of myriads of kodas of nayutas of Buddhas equal in number to the sands of the Ganges River. So we hear this refrain over and over again. What does it mean? When we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, we are invoking Buddha. Now, I just answered a question somebody emailed me recently. Does that mean we're Buddha? That wasn't the exact question, but the point is that we live moment to moment to moment to moment. And each period of moments that it takes for us to chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, thousands of moments in that time, each of those moments is, you would say, born into, right? Cycle of birth and death, birth, is born into that invocation of Buddha. But the moment you start inhaling, that's no longer, the moments keep going, but that influence of Buddha isn't necessarily there. Now, when we chant Shodai and we're constantly going with a rhythm, we are elevating our life condition with each Daimoku. In fact, liberating ourselves and availing ourselves to Buddha. When we stop, to the degree we've influenced that rest of that karmic freight train that we are moving moment to moment through time, right? Momentum will be influenced by that Daimoku, and that as we continue no longer chanting that Daimoku, the effects, the influences, they'll migrate and they'll influence and they'll go deeper and deeper into the matrix that is our karma, but they won't be actively influencing that karma. Our goal in practice, in fact, is to chant regularly so that we slowly affect the entirety of our karma and move slowly more and more toward an enlightened consistency, right? Buddha-ness is an experience with each Daimoku and when we recite, you know, Gongyo, but as we still are samsaric beings, we are greatly the momentum of our samsaric physical being with all of its attendant influences and momentums, right? This is the work of a bodhisattva, to slowly, over time, accomplish more and more of an enlightened mind state. So that is the Buddha way of the Bodhisattva. So we never stop working on it, but we experience Buddha in each moment as we chant, and more we influence the rest of our karma with that enlightened mind. Does it make sense? So when he says in the lotus that he paid homage to innumerous Buddhas, this is in fact what we do when we invoke Buddha in our lives, in our minds, right? We are in effect paying homage, deep respect and ownership of the entity of Buddha. It's not really, I shouldn't say entity, the enlightenment, the illumination of the Buddha mind, yeah? With each Daimoku. So how many Buddhas have you paid homage to? See, it's not as mystical or magical as it might sound on first reading. These are just ways of expressing these concepts, these thoughts, these ideas on the practice and how to practice. All right. Where are we time-wise? Okay, we're good. So, what do you think of the body of Bodhisattva, wonderful voice? Do you think it exists only here? Because, again, this is about a concept, right? A way of understanding, a mental exercise, if you will. However, this Bodhisattva manifests himself in various bodies. Yes, when you chant and I chant, we manifest Buddha in various bodies, your body, my body, their bodies. This is a way, a life condition, an enlightenment. He has thus taught this sutra in many places for the sake of sentient beings. Sometimes he has appeared in the form of a Brahma. In other words, what influences along the way have led you to this practice? Sometimes it's an English teacher from fourth grade. helped set you on a path, influenced you deeply, right? We all have people we remember from time to time who really made a mark, we might say, on the way we've developed since then, our minds. Sometimes he has appeared in the form of Sakra. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of Anishvara. Different influences, right? This keeps going back to 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. All of this is storytelling about that engine of life. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of Mahasvara. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a great commander of the Devas, those positive influence spirits, those imagination thoughts that support our moving forward, our development, yeah? Sometimes he's appeared in the form of Vaishravana. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a noble emperor. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a minor king. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a wealthy man. Remember Vimalakirti? Vimalakirti, that sutra, wealthy man. Sometimes he has appeared in the form of a householder. Sometimes it's just your uncle. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a state official. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a Brahmin. Sometimes he has appeared in the form of a monk, nun, layman, or laywoman. Might be the teller at the local grocery store said something to you that really opened your mind. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a wife or a wealthy man or a householder. He's repeating himself. Sometimes he has appeared in the form of a wife or a state official. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a wife of a Brahmin. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a boy or a girl. Sometimes he's appeared in the form of a human or non-human, such as Deva, Naga, Yaksha, Gandhara, Asura, Garuda, Kimnara, or Mahoraga. All of this is to get the point across that this is an influence. This is a super good influence. But no matter how wonderful the influence, remember, your state of mind at the point of influence has a lot to do with how that point of influence will influence you. Which is another reason why we chant regularly, to keep that open mind, that Buddha mind, aware, our Gohonzon mind, always ready for new support of our enlightenment rather than detraction, yeah? So now you get the idea, this bodhisattva with all this merit, 50 feet tall or however tall he is, it isn't about a person. It's about an influence. And this is a big influence, this wonderful voice. This bodhisattva, wonderful voice. Right? What would make a voice wonderful? Pleasing to hear, impactful, full of wonderful knowledge, information. In this way, he has expounded this sutra and saved those in the states of being of hell dwellers, hungry ghosts, animals, and those difficult circumstances, right? The lower worlds, the lower realms, people stuck in, as he said before, greed, anger, foolishness, stupidity, vice, samsara. Sometimes he has transformed himself into a female in royal harems and taught this sutra. Oh, Padmasri, this bodhisattva, wonderful voice, saves all, liberates all sentient beings from the Saha world. His influence is such that it lifts people's life condition away from their attachments and possessions and liberates them to pursue enlightenment. Not bad. This bodhisattva of wonderful voice has transformed himself into various forms and taught this sutra for the sake of all sentient beings. Well, isn't that the goal for all of us? A goal that Shakyamuni set forth. So these are just, again, you could call them emanations, imaginations. These are personages he's created to once again recreate the path to enlightenment. These are skillful means, right here within the Lotus Sutra, yeah? Nevertheless, his transcendent power has never decreased, nor his power of transformation of his wisdom. This bodhisattva illuminates the Saha world with his great wisdom and causes every sentient being to attain what should be known. In other words, it's innate. The only reason you don't know it is because you're not illuminating it. So that influence is helping you do so. That influence then is within you. It's not some spiritual wind that comes by and lifts your skirt and makes you aware. It's a mechanism of your own mind. Buddhism is about the mind, attitude and intent. He does exactly the same in all the worlds of the Ten Directions, which are equal in number to the sands of the Ganges River. If he is able to liberate them in the form of a Shravaka, he teaches the Dharma by changing himself into the form of a Shravaka. If he's able to liberate them in the form of a Pratyeka Buddha, he teaches the Dharma by changing himself into the form of a Pratyeka Buddha. If he is able to say to liberate them in the form of a Bodhisattva, he teaches the Dharma by changing himself into the form of a Bodhisattva. If he is able to save them in the form of a Buddha, he teaches the Dharma and changes himself into the form of a Buddha. Thus, he transforms himself in various ways according to the capacities of those who are to be liberated. If he is able to liberate them by means of parinirvana, he manifests parinirvana to them. He's really talking about himself. But more importantly, he's talking about these positive influences toward enlightenment coming from within whatever our life state is. Maybe right now you're struggling with geometry in high school or junior high. And in the form of doing your homework one night, you finally figure something out and it changes your entire, well, your mood certainly, but your sense of self, your accomplishment, your ability to learn and teach yourself. That's Bodhisattva wonderful voice. That's your mind speaking to you in terms of excellence. And it motivates you. It pushes you up a notch. So all of these bodhisattvas, that's why I'm not too hung up about these huge names, because they're influences within your own life state, your own mind. And the big clue is here, he changes himself into whatever is necessary for the capacity. Well, that's not a he somewhere else. That is your capacity enabling you to reach where? Into your innate Buddhahood. Our paths are all singularly different. So that's what all this storytelling is about. Od Padmasri, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, wonderful voice, has achieved his transcendent powers and the power of wisdom in just such a manner. So he actually encapsulates much of the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment, occurring in each moment in your mind, in how you perceive it, experience it, utilize it. That's all you. Again, we chant to maintain a mind that of Buddha, right? That is keen to observe those influences that take us more and more toward liberation and enlightenment, toward our Buddha-ness. Yeah. Thereupon, Bodhisattva Padmasri addressed the Buddha, saying, Buddha, deep are the roots of good merit that this Bodhisattva wonderful voice has planted. Because, right, this is all innate. We simply need to awaken it. So these are already, those seeds are planted. Are we going to reap the rewards, the merit, the experience of these planted capacities? Oh Buddha, in what samadhi did this Bodhisattva dwell such that he was able to appear in various places in this way and bring sentient beings to the path? What kind of meditation do we use in order to gather these crops, these wonderful aspects of mind, right? The Buddha answered Bodhisattva Padmasri, saying, O son of virtuous family, that samadhi was called the Sarva Rupa Samdarasana. Dwelling in this samadhi, Bodhisattva, a wonderful voice, has benefited innumerable sentient beings in this way. So this is, obviously, this is an earlier teaching than the Lotus Sutra. But he's saying this is an evolving practice. So your minds have been able to come to this point and open your capacity so that now you can perceive this Lotus Sutra, which he stated abundantly is superior, the ultimate. So, in other words, he's padding the path a little bit to what he's teaching now. The Buddha answered Bodhisattva. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. When this chapter, Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, was being taught, those 84,000 people who had come with the Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, attained the samadhi called Sarvarupa Sandarasana. Innumerable bodhisattvas in this Saha world also attained this samadhi and dharani. Then Bodhisattva Mahasattva, wonderful voice, paid homage to the Buddha Shakyamuni and the stupa of the Buddha, the treasure tower, and returned to his own world. So all of this was about demonstrating that from wherever you are in your capacity, you take steps toward Buddha-ness, and ultimately you do so through the treasure tower, the seven jewels, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, this Lotus Sutra. All of that was just to repeat this in yet another way. These worlds through which he traveled quaked in six ways and rained jeweled lotus flowers. Hundreds of thousands of myriads of kodas of variegated music was heard. Having returned to his own world, he approached the Buddha Kama, blah, 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 surrounded by 84,000 bodhisattvas, and said to him, O Buddha, I have been to the Saha world and benefited the sentient beings. Having seen Buddha Shakyamuni and the stupa of the Buddha Tahoe, I paid homage to them and made offerings, the treasure tower. Having seen Bodhisattva Manjushri, the prince of the Dharma, Bodhisattva Medicine King, and Bodhisattva Viryabhalava Galaprata, and Bodhisattva, another Bodhisattva, I caused these 84,000 Bodhisattvas to attain samadhi called Sarvara. So he was leading his own retinue of Bodhisattvas, and by appearing and paying homage to the treasure tower in Shakyamuni Buddha, he enabled these other Bodhisattvas who are traveling on the path to awaken in themselves this meditation, this samadhi. So they're closer to Buddhaness. When this chapter, the coming and going of Bodhisattva, wonderful voice, was taught, 42,000 sons of the Devas attained the acceptance of the non-origination of all dharmas, and Bodhisattva Padmasri attained the Sadharma Pundarika Samadhi. What is the Sadharma Pundarika Samadhi? It's our practice. The Sadharma Pundarika is another name for the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Dharma, or Myoho Renge Kyo. And the meditation on Myoho Renge Kyo is our chanting and recitation. That is the ultimate. And that's how this chapter ends. Next is the gateway to every directions manifested by Bodhisattva Avalokitesvara. So we will get into that in the next video. I hope that made some sense. Sometimes, and I admit it, I know when I first read this, some of these chapters seem like, whew, like a Disney movie. But if you understand the form and the method in these skillful means, they really come apart quite easily. These are all about the influences in our minds and keeping our mind focused. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Links in the description for ebooks, books, mandalas, proper mandalas, and of course, free podcasts, free information on threefoldlotus.com. And patrons, you amazing folks who are keeping us paying the fees and the necessities for running this resource through Patreon and direct through PayPal. Thank you so much. Take a moment, like and subscribe. It helps propagate this resource and the teachings. And for that, I thank you, and I really implore you to take good care of your health. Stay safe, and I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.